You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As I mentioned, that today we're talking to Rumbi Hunywa about her business. Of course, it's called Ruru's Sweet Treats, and she will be sharing some of the lessons that she has learned along the way in her entrepreneurial journey. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm okay.
We are turning two today.
Yes.
Yes. Any message to AWR?
Okay. Thank you so much for inviting me to this platform to share my entrepreneurship with the rest of the Adventist
yes.
family and other volunteers.
Fantastic. Fantastic. How was your day?
Hectic. Mm. It was hectic, but yeah, we carry on. We carry on.
I like people who say hectic because it means there was money being made. And me and money are not enemies, you know. We are friends. So when you say it was hectic, I expect that, you know, you're going to send some tawanyana my direction.
Yeah, you know.
So, but busy is good, eh?
Yeah, busy is good. Busy is good. Taking also into consideration that I've got a full-time a job, and this one is a side hustle, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
It can be hectic at work.
I'm sure.
It can be hectic as well, yeah.
I'm sure it can be. But let's take a few steps back then to say, tell us a little bit about yourself for listeners who might not know you, and a little bit about the business itself as well.
All right. My name is Rumbi Zaiwinya. I am married. I am a mother of two lovely daughters. I live in Johannesburg in South Africa. I am a social worker by profession, and my small business, if I can say, Ruru's Sweet Treats, it all started during COVID, you know? COVID brought a lot of things, good and bad things.
Sure.
And on my side, I just want to say, I want to thank God because it brought something that, a talent that I didn't have, that I didn't know that I had.
Mm.
So it all started during COVID, you know? We had so many coping mechanism, and one of them was just joining a group, whatever the group was, but to find yourself in a group just as a way of just coping. And I found myself in this group that was called Cooking and Baking.
Yeah.
And so this every week would get a challenge. It would either cooking or baking. And if you do not do your task, believe you me, they would remove you. The admins would remove you. They were very serious. They would remove you from the group. So, you know, as a way of keeping up and wanting to learn more, I kept on doing my task so that I'm not eliminated from the group, so that I can continue to grow and learn some of the skills. More so just to have peace of mind, knowing that you're on lockdown, you don't have anything to do, you're at home, you're seated, you know. It just kept me going during the times of COVID. So, yeah, that's how it all started during COVID.
So that's amazing. So you were finding it as a coping mechanism that then became a business as we speak today.
That it becomes a business, and that it started as a hobby. Yes, it started as a hobby, and then it becomes a business. Yeah,
sure. That's interesting. And what type of sweet treats do you do at Ruru's?
I do cakes.
Cakes.
I do cakes and muffins. Yes, I'm into cakes and muffins. Yes.
Fantastic. I know that muffins are really different. My favorite is blueberry. So I love blueberry muffins, you know. So do you do that variety as well?
Whatever the clients want, that's what I deliver. If you want blueberry, I can do blueberry muffins. If you want banana muffins, I can give you banana muffins.
Nice.
Whatever that the client asks, is I am ready to deliver.
Fantastic, fantastic. I must, of course, like I was saying earlier, on that you know, it means that as Business Sense, we're gonna get you know, a tray of blueberry muffins coming our way one of these days. Am I right?
Definitely.
So there you have it. You've had, you know, the joys of being on radio. I'll be waiting for those blueberry muffins. I must say that I was saying earlier on that I've got a very sweet tooth. So These type of things really, really excite me. So that's what I'll be looking forward to. I really love that journey. I mean, during COVID, how difficult was running this thing in COVID? I'm sure getting clients, going out, there's curfews, all of those were challenges.
Like I said, so during COVID, it was when I really started into the business. So there was not much. I was still growing. I was still learning. You know, we are not going out even to get these lessons.
Yes.
It's social media and online.
Yes.
There's no one who is there to go you through step by step.
Yeah.
So it was, I was learning and baking for family. If ever there's a birthday and then you deliver a cake to families, not to say that it was there to market it. So during the COVID era, it was just an indoor thing, an in-house thing, whereby I'll just bake and give to family and friends. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's really interesting. And in terms of raising capital then to actually start and run this thing, did you have to go out and seek for money, or did you have savings, or what was your experience in raising capital for starting the business?
I had some little savings also with the help of my husband. So that is what I used to start the small business, to get the trays, to get the oven, to get, you know, all the ingredients that I needed in order to do the baking. So I can say it was the savings. We took some part of the money from our savings start the business. Yes.
Fantastic. And then in terms of the current load shedding, you're saying you're operating from South Africa. So we've got this thing that the world doesn't know about. It's only found in South Africa. It's one of the few things that the world doesn't have that we have, which is this thing called load shedding. How are you dealing with it, especially for a business that obviously relies on electricity a lot?
You know what? It's a challenge. I don't want online, and it's affecting also even my personal life when it comes to load shedding, because you'd find I've got a full-time job that I'm working and I'm coming home maybe around four. I'm thinking, let me just quickly do my baking, and there's no electricity. And now I have to wait up until the load shedding is over. Then I'll start baking. And it will be late into the night. And thereafter in the morning, you also need to go to, you know, to the duty that I signed up for, that I said I do hereby apply. You get it?
Yes.
So yeah, it's quite a challenge right now with the current load shedding.
And what's the alternative that you are using?
At the moment, to be honest with you, I don't have any alternatives but just to wake up whenever electricity is back and do the baking.
Sure. So even if you have to wake up in the middle of the night and you've got an early morning to work, you have to do that.
I don't want to disappoint my clients.
Yes.
I have to do it.
Yes.
I have to do it. Yes.
Sure. Talking about clients, do you remember your first client, and how did you get that first client?
Okay, you know, my first client, it was Georgina.
Okay.
I remember Georgina.
Yeah.
So she said it was her 40th birthday.
Okay.
And it was just towards when the lockdown was being eased.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Sisro, can I have a cake?
Yeah.
And it was my first cake. And you know, you're anxious. You want to perfect it.
Yes.
You want everything to go, you know, so that if she's happy, definitely she's going to refer other clients. And then other clients also refer other clients.
Yeah.
So I had to perfect it. And indeed, she loved her first cake.
Yeah.
And for me, if I look at my first cake and where I am
now,
there is a difference. I can even say this is not my cake. I don't think this is me.
But the flip side of it, it means you've grown. Yeah.
Yes, I get, looking back where I'm coming from, that listeners who are listening to my voice right now, that say, Rumbi, you are very honest. You are being honest because, you know, it was bad. But, you know, with practice, with endurance, you know, baking takes a lot of endurance. At times the cake flops, at times things, you know, electricity goes while you're in the middle of baking, you know. So all those things, you just need to make sure that you deliver,
Sure, that's interesting there. But I think that's what I'm saying. The flip side of it is that you look back and you're like, yo, I've grown so much and I've become a better person in terms of baking and just running the business as well. Still talking about customers, how do you now grow your customer base? What have you done? Do you use social media? How do you get yourself out there?
Okay, I use social media.
Yeah.
I also have a lot of referrals. I get referrals, and I've got, preschool. If you
Yeah.
get yourself into preschool,
Okay.
every month there is a birthday.
Yes, definite.
That's one thing that you are guaranteed every month. So I usually supply my clients are from the preschool. That's
Yeah.
where my clients are coming from. So yeah. That and referral, social media, I
Yeah.
advertise myself, and also word of mouth. I'm there.
Yes.
I love to talk, so
Yeah.
I talk. If you want, and more so, if there is a function, I bake a cake for free so that
Okay.
people can just taste the work of my hands. And when they taste it, definitely they'll come and say, "Rumpi, can you do us a cake?"
That's a very good strategy, eh? Just get people to taste, and definitely, because of the quality of what you do. Now, tell me something. I know that baking and all these things requires you to be really, really creative and all those sort of stuff. And for people like us who are in the creative space, how do you generate new ideas? Do you get into some little corner somewhere? Do you pray? How do you get new ideas of what type of shape, colors, and decorations, and I don't know what they call them when you're making cakes, but how do you generate those new ideas?
So, it's before I even do anything,
Yeah.
a client comes to me, Rumba, I want a cake.
Yeah.
And my first question is, what kind of a cake do you
Yes,
want?
yes.
And then she'll say, maybe she'll send me a design that she wants. And
Yes.
then if I cannot deliver that kind of a cake that the client wants, I'm honest enough to say, can we play around with this cake? Because that's one thing that bakers have a problem. I want
Yeah.
to call it a problem. We tend to say, I can do it, but yet you cannot do it.
Yeah.
So in my case, I'm always honest with my clients. I cannot do this, but can we try to
Yes.
work around it so that I give you the best of it all? So I use different platforms, Pinterest, I'm
Yeah.
on YouTube,
Yeah.
I just go everywhere, Instagram, I just go everywhere to get an idea,
Yeah.
the idea. Try to be very, very creative, yeah.
Do you remember one design that was really challenging for you? Because one thing I know about us as customers, I'll come with a design and I say, I need this design and that type of a thing. How do you deal with those really, really difficult ones? Like you tell them, but I'm sure there was this one design you're like, yeah, this looks really challenging, but I'm going to do it.
Okay, parents, my clients, like I said, they are parents. They wanted a dinosaur cake, a cake with all the dinosaurs.
Yes.
I cannot make a dinosaur. I'm not artistic. I'm not good at all those things.
Yeah.
And the client is expecting you to deliver some dinosaurs on the cake, but I had to be creative and bought some dinosaurs in a king in a shop, and then I was like, put it nicely,
Yes.
and believe you me, she loved the
Okay.
dinosaurs that I bought more than what she wanted, because the child had the opportunity also to remain with the toys that
Yeah.
she wanted. So yeah, that is one of the challenges, getting clients who wants things to the exactness. But
Yeah.
we always try to work it around so that we please our customers.
Eish, must be very difficult. And tell me your most difficult customer and how did you deal with them?
All right, I recently had a client who threw a referral, so a cake at a crèche, and then she's like, "Roo, I also want a cake." And I'm like, "Okay." She's told, "I want the exact cake." I said, "It's fine, I can deliver it." And then she's like, "I want to see where you stay." And I'm like, "What's happening here? Is there a problem?" And she's like, "I cannot pay my deposit not knowing where you stay."
Oh
So she had
wow.
some,
Oh wow.
that's a difficult client already. You don't trust me that I will be able to deliver your child's cake, and you want to see where I stay. So I just gently say, if you don't believe in my work, and
Eish.
if you don't believe me that I can deliver, and you want to see where I stay, I don't think we are going anywhere. I think the person who referred you can tell you more about myself.
Yes.
And yeah,
Sure,
then she
sure.
apologized later on.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what
So those are the
Yeah. Those online inquiries ones, do you get them where they're like, they don't trust you online? You know, Facebook market and all these other places can just be very difficult if, you are not careful. One can get scammed and all. How do you deal with such customers that come to you and like, I don't trust you as well. I need to know and see you first. Like this particular one, especially just referring to social media customers only.
For now, I haven't heard much from social media,
okay.
So I can say I'm safe for now because I haven't heard much from so it's mainly from church. Those are my clients, my friends, and all my associates.
Fantastic. And let's talk about challenges then. I'm sure when you started this thing, it looked really good. This thing is going to make money. You're going to be a millionaire. You put up the numbers in a spreadsheet. You know how we love spreadsheets. Put it in a spreadsheet and, you know, operating cost and revenues. And then you get to reality, you realize, numbers in paper and reality are two different things. What has been the biggest shock and perhaps the biggest, game changer for you?
Knowing that there are so many bakers in the world. Everyone is a baker. If I bake my oven, I am a baker.
Okay.
Yes, that's true. If I buy my oven, the next thing, I bake cakes.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So those are some of the challenges that we face, also, one of the challenges I think that I can say I faced was the, you know, when you are starting having a cake that flops.
Yeah.
And remember, I'm a full-time, I've got a full-time job. And here I am thinking that the cake is going to come out nicely. And then, boom, the cake flops.
Sure.
It means you have to redo it again. The client is waiting for the cake. You know, they want it. They are expecting, and you don't want to disappoint your client at the same time. So you end up going an extra mile. You spend the whole night awake making sure that you have pleased your client. So those are some of the challenges. And also, like I said, the challenge of load shedding here in South Africa. Yes, it's taking a toll on me, on myself, because I have to wake up and do overtime.
Sure, that's really bad. Talking about that, what keeps you motivated? What makes you wake up and still say, I'm going to do this? Because apparently being an entrepreneur is the most difficult thing, and it's not always nice, but you have to make sacrifices like you are doing and all that. What keeps you motivated?
Knowing that I've got an extra income that I'm not in that is tax free.
That's lovely. Yes. I love that.
Knowing that I've got a source of income that is tax free. Knowing that no one is taking this money. This one belongs to me.
Yeah.
And also knowing that I don't have to report to anyone. Ah. Remember, I told you I've got a full-time job.
Yes.
I don't have to to say I am running late or so. I do things my own. It also just to the title of ownership, knowing that this is mine. I'm owning things. This is mine. It keeps me going. That's my driving force.
I love that. I really love that. Now, talking about family then, how is this having to struggle between a full-time job and also doing your own business, having to wake up in the middle of the night, sacrifice a few things, how has that affected your family life?
It has. I don't want to lie. At times it does affect, especially family, whereby you're supposed to be having a family time, then you're busy in the kitchen, making sure things are up in order.
Yeah.
And, the family would get to a point whereby they say, we are going to sleep. Mama, we are going to sleep. But Mama still is in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Mommy's not giving attention to the girls or daddy because she's in the kitchen trying to make sure things are well done, you know. So that it's some of the challenges. It has affected the family. But, you know, where there's money, at the end of the day, we smile over it.
Repeat that, please.
Where there's money, you know, you can even bribe them to say, "Oh, guys, it's heaven last night, but let's go and have a meal. Let's watch each other, you know." But you try as much to spend time together as a family.
Lovely, lovely. As long as there's still that time with family, it's very important. Yes, but I agree. Yes. Where there is money, there's smiles. So your typical day, like on average, how many hours of sleep do you get? What time do you wake up? And what time do you go to bed?
Yes, you're exposing me. Do you know that?
Don't worry. Let me whisper to you. They are not listening. Don't worry.
Honest with you, yeah. I'm a very late sleeper.
Okay.
Very, very late sleeper. I love to sleep very late and I love my morning sleeps.
Yes.
So it's a challenge for me at times to wake up in the morning. At times I'm late at work because I love to sleep. Because maybe I would have had a cake that I would have baked during the night. But on a typical day,
yeah,
I wake up in the morning, go to my full-time job, which is very demanding.
Yes.
Because like I said, I'm a social worker. I move from court to court. I move from one court to another.
Sure.
And then I come back to work. I do my reports. I make sure I deliver at work. Remember, you have to also work as if you're working for the Lord, even if you're boss. Hey,
exactly.
So I have to also work at work, make sure that I deliver. And thereafter, I come home. I come home. At times I find the girls would have cooked. At times I find them not cooked. I cook for the family.
Yeah.
And then thereafter, I will get into our devotions. Like I said, late sleeper, then I sleep late. Yes.
Oh, okay, lovely. You sound like a very, very enthusiastic person. And is that also seen through, would you say, your designs and your cakes as you make them?
Yes. If there are listeners listening, I think those that have seen my cakes, they can testify.
Okay. And I'm asking that because, I mean, you know, people who work with food and baking, we see these things. When something is made out of love and enthusiasm, we can taste it that something that's really nice. Now, as we draw towards a close, when you look back, what would you do differently? What is the one thing that you look back and you say, if I had done this differently, maybe things would be different?
I don't want to say if I would quit my job and concentrate on my baking, I would have done something better. But because I'm also small, I'm also growing, I also need the income that is coming from my full-time job.
Yes.
But I don't think I would trade anything or say I would change this. But I would say maybe I need to train one of my girls so that they can carry on the legacy of this baking in air.
Yeah.
That one I would say. And my younger one is very passionate about baking. So I think I'll do that. Yeah.
You'll do that. You'll teach your young one as well. 10 to 20 years. You see, I'm prophesying now. 10 to 20 years from now, where do you see the business?
I see every billboard written Ruru Sweet Treats.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yes. It is my desire that one day I would have like my own confectionery shop where I bake my own cakes and employ one or two people.
Yeah.
So that also they can be also employed. Remember with the unemployment rates, we need also to equip others. So that is one of my dreams. That's my dream, to have at least one or two employers under Rural Sweet Treats.
Yes, definitely. And that's going to happen. That's certainly going
to happen. Thank you so much.
With the Lord being faithful, it's certainly going to happen. What's your most satisfying moment so far?
All right. When I baked a traditional wedding cake and I delivered it, I set it up. And the client called to say, Rumbi, well done.
Oh, wow.
I felt so good. Was so good. It was so satisfying. You don't want to know.
Sure.
I've got smiles on my face right now.
As you speak about it.
Yes. I went there, set it up, and, you know, she's like, the cake was even small. Everyone wanted a slice of the cake. And right now she ordered another one for
her. Look at that.
Son's wedding. So, thank God for that.
That's really amazing. That's really amazing. Now, as we end, before we end, just think about, you know, how can people get in touch with you and all that. But, you know, just for me to be safe and still have my job here, right? I'm going to need your assistance. I've got my boss here who is saying her birthday is on the 25th of March. She says she's not saying anything, but she's just saying, Jay, that... what you do with that information, you know. She's just saying, Jyoti, my birthday is on the 25th of March, you know. So she's just going ahead of you and I. So I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know, and all that. And my producer was also sending me some of your pictures as well of the cakes that you have done. This is really amazing, Rumbi. This is really, amazing. Look at that.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Semi. Oh, please, before we go, I need to get this one. Semi-naked cake. What's that? Semi-naked.
Please don't take it the wrong way.
I was just curious about this one. It's the first one that caught my attention. Okay, so you've got semi-naked. Okay. You've got name it, I cake it. Okay, so that's another one. But yeah, what is this semi-naked?
Okay, so the semi-naked cake, you know, other people prefer a lot of icing.
Yes.
And other people don't prefer a lot of icing.
Yeah.
So a semi-naked cake is not covered total.
Ah.
It's just covered just to cover the crumb cost of the cake. You get it?
Ah.
So that is why we call it a semi. It's not full icing. It's just a semi.
Okay. Do you have like a fully clothed cake? I'm giving you an idea there. You can call it fully clothed cake, you know?
If you want one, I'll make you one.
Fully clothed cake. Now, tell me something, just as a side thought here. During Valentine, I see this semi-naked cake has got a flower there. I'm sure these came. You have had a lot of these during this Valentine thingy that were happening. The last few weeks. It's not important anyway, this Valentine thing. But I'm sure you had a lot of, requests during that time. What was it like?
It was quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
It was quite overwhelming, but I managed to... And one of those semi-naked cakes, it was a Valentine's cake.
Ah, okay.
Yes, it was a client who wanted that one as well. So, yeah.
Ah, that's fantastic. And then I see you've got also children's cakes as well. I see, is it a Barbie or Minky? I see a pink one here. And I also see another green one with strawberries. These would be like your children's cake. And I see another one for 1 year old. Okay, that's interesting. For those of you with kids, then you can always, talk to Rumbi about that one. Okay, your final thoughts. There are people who are aspiring entrepreneurs and maybe some follow you as well and follow your work and they want to start their own businesses, might be in this space or in another space. What would be your message of encouragement to upcoming entrepreneurs?
I just want to say start small. Don't start big. Don't dream big. Yes, we are to dream big, but when you are starting, don't dream big.
Yeah.
You know, you start small and you grow day by day. Stop procrastinating to say, I want to do it. Do it. If you've got the power and the mighty and the strength to do it, do it.
Yeah.
And if you fail, try again. Practice makes perfect. I don't want to lie how many cakes that I threw away because they failed, but I kept on because of persistence, because of passion for baking. I continued until where I am. I reached where I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, one of the most thing is to commit your business to the Lord. Hey,
yes.
And I want to leave all the listeners that are here to say, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever that you find your hands to do, do it with all your might.
Mm.
You know, don't rob your customers. Do it with all your might. Do it to perfection. Do it as if there is no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it is through the work of our hands that we are blessed. And that we get more referrals from other people.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And how can people get a hold of you if they need to place their orders?
Okay, they can contact me on 071-895-1394. 071-895-1394.
Yeah. Okay, and on social media, can they follow you anywhere?
They can send me... what do you call email rumbai at gmail.com.
At gmail.com. Okay. Thank
yes.
you so much, ma'am. It has been a pleasure talking to you, and we wish you nothing but the best for your business.
Thank you so much. It was also an honor to talk to you and also to have the listeners listening
yes.
to my voice. I really loved the interview. I thought it was going to be, you know,
yeah.
rigid, but you made it so exciting
ah,
that I also
so
enjoyed it. Yes.
Thank you so much. Wish you nothing but the best. I'm sure we're going to connect again in just a near future.
Not a problem.
You
I'm always there at your call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.